Let's join Pastor Roger for this inspiring message.
Why the cross? Why the resurrection? Let's put up Matthew 28, verse 1 through 8. I want to read that together. Read aloud and just declare it with me. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly to tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And so they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to look at the next scripture, which is Paul's account, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. I'll read it. You just look up and follow along. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time." Paul had to get his in there, didn't he? He later says, I was in on seeing him too, you know. Hallelujah. There was a story I heard a while back about in a small town. They had a church putting on the Passion Play. They're going to do it a couple of times. And there was the fella that was playing Jesus. He was carrying the cross. And it was, you know, the ruckus, you know, moving toward the crucifixion. And he had the cross. And this guy, they were mocking and jeering and spitting and pushing. And one guy just came, a little Billy, he came up, boom, and spit it right in the face. The guy playing Jesus put the cross down and just decked him. Boom. Everybody went, "Oh, my goodness, Jesus hit him," you know. Well, you can imagine the next night, the place was packed out. Everybody in town came to see Jesus deck Billy. So we come up to the same place. You know, here he is trudging away. Billy comes up, spits right in his face. He hangs onto the cross and says, "I'm not going to hit you this time, Billy, but after the resurrection, you're mine." In a powerful way, Jesus would say to you, "After the resurrection, you're mine." Go ahead and say to somebody, "After the resurrection, you're his." Amen. You know that Jesus is the only person claiming to be the Savior of mankind who said he would rise from the dead and actually did it? Jesus rose from the grave, just like he said. His crucifixion, his resurrection, and the reasons the Bible gives for these events are what set him apart from every other person in the world. Unbelieving scriptures think that the disciples made this up. Listen, they were chickens. They were nervous. They were scared. It's inconsistent with their revealed character. They were afraid. After they saw him, that he had risen, they turned from chickens to lions. A lot of people will die for what they believe in, but these disciples not only died for what they believed in, they died for what they saw. They were eyewitnesses. They saw Jesus risen up from the grave. Hallelujah. That makes me happy. I didn't get to be there, but oh. You know, I originally thought one of the reasons that Jesus rose from the dead was to prove he is God, you know. God doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. He's God. So he doesn't have to prove it. God's reasons for rising from the dead are much bigger than proving he's God. The reasons he rose from the dead are motivated, both the crucifixion and the resurrection. The motivation of this is love, of course. Let's look at Romans 5, 6 or 8. When we were, this is the New Living Translation, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So Jesus' motive for the cross was love. I want to just say to you, Jesus' motive for the resurrection is also love. There are three things that I believe God wants to make us very secure in. Tell the person next to you, the crucifixion and the resurrection was to make you secure. To secure something in us. The essence of the resurrection is about God making us secure. So there's three things I want to mention to you today that create our security in Christ. Number one, his resurrection from the dead secures our victory over death. Secures our victory over death. Everybody that doesn't know the Lord has fear when it comes time to die. Everybody. Today, if you don't know him, you'd be concerned about dying. You may not have thought about it lately. But the fact is, if you can't lay your head on the pillow at night knowing, then you need Jesus today. 1 Corinthians 15, 21, 22 says, "For since it was through a man that death came into the world," everybody say Adam, "is also through a man that the resurrection of the dead has come." See, Jesus had to become a man to do this for us. Verse 22 says, "For just as because," look at this now, "because of their union of nature," see, "because of their union of nature, in Adam all people die. So also by virtue of their union of nature," look at that, "shall all in Christ be made alive." Let me just say this. I just want to kind of cut through some stuff here. If a person just acknowledges Jesus but their life doesn't change, there's no union of nature. See, a true believing in Jesus changes the lifestyle of the person. It changes something fundamentally about their approach to living. Are you there? I went to church a long time thinking I was a Christian because I went to a church and I was lost. I'll tell you about that later, but I was lost. Being in church, lost. So going to church is not what salvation is. Coming to a person, meeting a person who died for you and rose again. That's what it's about, meeting the actual person. Let's look at, I love this scripture, Hebrews 2, 14 through 13. This sheds a lot of light, this whole securing our victory over death. Ooh, look at this. Now I'm going to read this same verse out of three different versions of the Bible. Amplified Bible says, "Since therefore these his children share in flesh and blood, in the physical nature of human beings, he himself in a similar manner partook of the same nature, that by going through death he might bring to naught and make of no effect him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. And also that he might deliver and completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage throughout the whole course of their lives." Nice big mouthful of solid theology right there. Let's look at the same verse in the Living Translation. "Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying." I like the Message version, too. Look at the Message version. Since the children are made of flesh and blood, it's logical that the Savior could take on flesh and blood in order to rescue them by his death. By embracing death, taking it into himself, he destroyed the devil's hold on death and freed all who cower through life scared to death of death. 1 Corinthians 15:55, let's say it together. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? I want to tell you how thoroughly he put to death death for all who believe in him. Now, listen, sin creates death, the separation. Jesus came and has an answer for our sin by dying on the cross. He pays our debt. So then he gives us, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. I worked all my life sinning. Well, you get your wages. Eternal separation from God. But, that's the cross side. But the gift of God, everybody say gift of God, is eternal life. So that's the resurrection side. That's the gift of life, the gift of eternal life. Let's look how thoroughly he just put a bloody nose to death here. Matthew 27:50-53. This is an incredible. I just love this verse. Matthew 27:50-53. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. This is when he's on the cross there. So there's a lot wrapped up in this verse. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rock split. Now watch this, verse 52. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep. I love the way the Bible teaches about death. It just says you fell asleep. You took a nap. You're sleeping over there in peace in Christ, and he wakes you up, and you come back. Look at this. Who had fallen asleep were raised. Now, verse 53. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Uncle Jedekiah, what are you doing? Didn't you die 100 years ago? Just in time for dinner. Come on, imagine what that was all about. Jesus goes down from dying on the cross into the place where the those who put their faith in him are and says, I'm here now. I'm the resurrection and the life. Let's go. And then all these evangelists come out of the graves walking around. Let's go down to Taylor and get some clothes here. These are... But they're all... Come on, look at it. That's power over death. Turn to the person next to you. I have power over death in Christ. The Bible says in Psalm 116:15, it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. There's a huge difference between someone who knows the Lord, who's dying and going to die, and someone who doesn't. And like in a hospital room. Here's one hospital room here. Here's a hospital room here. Like my mom and my dad, when they passed away, they just slipped into a state of peace. There was some physical challenge with my mom because she had fought cancer and there was a little pain involved. But she just really just fell into sleep. My dad, just his spirit, just he just stepped across. How precious. See? He just napped and woke up in glory. See, just escorted from his earthly shell into heavenly glory. How precious in the sight of the Lord for the death of his saints. Because there is no death. In fact, the Bible says ultimately hell and death will be cast into the lake of fire. He's going to give up, you know. But Jesus, in Christ, death has been defeated for us. Opposed to a person who doesn't know the Lord. You know, I was thinking about this, kind of having some thoughts about, you know, being on life support. My family never believed in putting anybody on life support because we know where we're going. But I want to say, if you're not saved, stay on life support as long as you can. That's sad to say that, but please stay plugged in until somebody can get you saved, get you to Jesus Christ, because it's over after that. So spend all the money's wealth and keep you plugged in, and run in alive until you somebody can read the word and get a conscious awareness that you've received Jesus. Because you don't want to slip out into a Christless eternity. So that's when I believe in it. But as far as that, You know, it's so beautiful too. Just like, I've heard the stories. You've heard the stories where this old fella goes to church and then just, you know, has like Abraham, like Moses, just in perfect health. But then that day is the day. Just sits down in the chair at home and takes a nap and just slips. Like Enoch. Enoch just kind of taking a walk with God. I know what happened that day. I didn't read it in the scripture, but I just know. God said, Enoch, it's closer to my house now than yours. Why don't you just come on home with me? And Enoch just stepped right through the realm. How precious in the sight of the Lord. Now, if you don't have that awareness that you have the security that Jesus has overthrown death, if you can't lay your head down and know that you're going to be with him, today's the day of salvation. If you've wandered away from the Lord and you're messing around in the world, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where you say, I'm not going to do that other junk anymore. I'm going to barrel through them all and get to Jesus. Amen? You know, you and I, everybody here, there's going to be a special day when you individually, one at a time, look eyeball to eyeball with Jesus Christ. What are you going to say? What am I going to say? There's a moment ahead. We have this eye-to-eye encounter that reads, hey, there, all of our mail, everything is out. Everything that was hidden for years is revealed. Is the Lord dealing with you just to clean house, deal with stuff, get rid of stuff? We want to do that. The Lord's calling you. Number two. His resurrection from the dead, say this out loud with me, secures our place in his family. Place in his family. Mary Magdalene said it, John 20, verse 17. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to, everybody say, my Father. Just say it again, my Father. See, the resurrection is all about God's daddy becoming your daddy. That's what it's about. It's the reconnect. The resurrection. See, the cross was, let's put to death the power of sin that held you back from him. That's dealt with now. Now the resurrection is, now we step into the relationship in newness of life. Newness of life. John 1:12 says it this way, as many as, everybody say, received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. The receiving part is not a working hard to be received part. The receiving part is that there is a free gift involved, and you can't be good enough, as we talked about last week, to get into heaven. In fact, it's the acknowledgement that you'll never be good enough. That's not about you being good enough. It's about Jesus being good enough and about him dying for us and wiping that debt out. I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. And because of that, I can come into newness of life through confession. And that's what we're getting here. Look at Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that what? That what? That God has what? What'd he do? The believing that he is resurrected from the dead is key. Is key to your salvation. That Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Hey, if he hasn't, we have no hope. If Jesus doesn't rise from the dead, nobody rises from the dead. We are, as Paul said, pitiful in the sight of all men if we put our hope in someone who didn't. But Jesus has. And because of that, Because of that, we get the same earth suit, the same heaven suit. I just love this part because you get to walk through walls. We get to play superhero. We can communicate with our thoughts. You can, you know, he fly up in the sky, ascend it into heaven, you know. This is a nice thing. Jesus made it fun. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. If you've put your faith in him, then he lives in you. The same power, see? The same Spirit, the very same Spirit. Now this whole thing here, that when the Bible talks about this in Ephesians, it says that when he raised him from the dead, it was like it uses the terms in the Greek language like a weightlifter coming and exerting this. Now just think for a minute. Every negative, evil, white lie, bad lie, thought, lust, name it, thought or deed that you've had, all went on Jesus. And all of mine, all went on Jesus. And this one, and this one, and this one. And in fact, all of them from the first person to the last person who's ever born. Okay? Years and years, all of the accumulated effect of all of the sins of the world are put upon him. Every rape, every murder, every serial killer, every horrible, disgusting thing you can do to a human being, every wickedness, every demonized thought is all placed upon Jesus. That's huge. It's huge. And then that debt, that what is paid for in his sinless sacrifice, and then God's going to raise him up now like a weightlifter with the veins popping out on his neck. That's why the earthquakes, see? That's why the darkness shed. That's why the whole earth shook, because of the power of God raising up. And now that same Spirit that Jesus raised up, Jesus, the same Spirit that God put in to raise up Jesus now dwells in you and me. Is there a problem he can't roll away? In Christ, ultimate victory is in every single person. Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in your mortal flesh. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, are you in God's family? Do you believe Jesus rose from the dead for you? Say yes. Yes. And the next part is, have you given your life to him? And that's everybody's individual choice. I can't choose for anybody. You can't choose for but you. You can choose for you. Number three, his resurrection from the dead secures his legacy in and through us. It secures his victory over death, secures our place in his family. But he goes further. He has an eternal legacy that he wants to transmit into and through you. You know, my mother passed away, and then, you know, there's a will, you know. And my mom didn't come back to be the executor of the will. She's gone to be with the Lord. Now, Jesus, though, Jesus dies, but he rises from the grave, and now he comes back to be the executor over his will. He comes back to say, now this is how we're going to divide it all up. This is what we're doing. I have an inheritance for you. Hebrews 8:6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, being executor and all, insomuch as he is, everybody say, mediator of a better covenant. See, that's what that means right there. That's what it means. Which has established on better promises. Look at verse 10 of that, Hebrews 8, verse 10 says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws, this is how he writes the will out. He writes it into you. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The will is written on your heart. Did you show up for the reading of it? The more you show up for the reading of it, you get it written on you, and you enter your inheritance. So what does the resurrection give us? It gives us, there's two people that inherit out of this thing. We get, let's look at Ephesians 1, 11 through 12. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. Go ahead and tell somebody. I get stuff. Tell them good stuff. I'm showing up for the reading of the will, and I'm getting my stuff. I'm getting my stuff. You can't push me out of that meeting. Being predestined, he thought about this ahead of time, according to the purpose of him who works all things. Yes, your seat. All things according to the counsel of his will. Just gather around, kids. It's time for the reading of the will. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. What is it that we inherit? There's so many things. Can I just dabble with a few here? Anybody got eternal hope in Christ Jesus? The peace that you live forever. How many of you understand the fullness of his salvation in your life? Nothing missing? Nothing lacking? Now watch, if you take your head and you keep it dunked into the putrid flow of thinking of the world system, you'll just wash all that good old stuff right out of your mind. You'll be renewed in your mind, but it'll be renewed in the spirit of the world. But if you show up for the reading, and you let him write it on the inside of you, you start to walk in the fullness of your salvation. Wholeness to every area of your life. Completeness. Healing. Healing. Take it in. Have it written. You see, you came to the table with something else down in there, and God says, I want the reading of my will to be written in your inner man so that you can walk in this, because this is your inheritance. I came back to give you the fullness of my will, and it's your destiny and the legacy of my life in you that causes the release. How about healing in every way? There's not one area, physical, emotional, mental, financial, relational. Look at the person next to you. I get protection too. Go ahead and tell them provision is included. Now look, the wills, you know how sometimes wills are conditional. If the person does this, then this happens, right? Sometimes it can have, there's conditions. You don't live any old way you want. You come and say, Lord, help me fulfill the conditions of your will so I can receive my inheritance. And you know, real inheritance is really done when you actually receive maturity and understanding who he is as your father. That's where the depth of your real inheritance comes from. The legacy really happens. And these are the other ones. Everybody say, I get love. I get peace. I get joy. See, those are some of the benefits. People say, well, how in the world do you manage through what you're going through? It's my inheritance. I'm trusting Jesus to work this all out. I used to have my hands on it until I read the will and testament. And now I let him have it, and I have peace, and he's ordering. You hear the wisdom in this? He's ordering my steps. What's God get out of it? Now, we get an inheritance, but God gets an inheritance, doesn't he? Shouldn't he? He did it all. Look at somebody next to you there. Just go ahead and look, get a good look. Last service I said check them out, but I didn't mean it like that. I meant just look in their eyes. Just get a look at that person there. Just look at, let's think for a minute here. Okay, here you go. Ready? You're God's inheritance. You're it. He got you. Wow. That's what he got. God did it all for. I want you. Isn't that wonderful? Man, isn't that wonderful? You didn't think you're all that much. God says I did it all for you so we could have a forever life together. You're my inheritance. You're my inheritance. I did it so we could be together. He says, you know, I didn't make hell for man. I'm the devil. The devil was what that was made for. And it's just a little crack in the sphere of all things. It's a little, barely, you know, just a little hot spot for him. But people who reject me and choose him, doggone it. After all I did, why would they not choose me? Because death enters through sin and the deception of choosing him. That's not the legacy. The legacy that God wants is you and him forever. Yes. Let's read about what that looks like in Revelation 21. What's God get out of this? Verse 1 says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Well, and there was no more sea. If you want to go to the beach, you better get down there. Because that's over after this. Hey, no more of that. But there is a river. Okay, so we're going to have a nice... And there is a crystal sea. It's different. It's not the same. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. This is a city. Can you wrap your head around it? This is a city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. When you figure that out, come back and tell me. This is huge, huge. God's inheritance. He put a place that's adorned for us. Wrapped up, and just look at this. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Go ahead and elbow somebody. There you are, right there in the Bible. God has thought about this. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. The world, nothing in the world is worth missing this. Cling to Jesus. Get a hold of Jesus. Love the Lord. Don't miss your blessed hope, your eternal future. Verse 4 says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Hey, read this aloud with me. There shall be no more pain. That's a hallelujah right there. For the former things have passed away. Where we're heading, pain is not in there. I think... Even though this is God's inheritance as us, I think ours is wrapped up in there too. There's the now inheritance and the then inheritance. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. You know what? This ain't going to happen. It's pretty much settled in the mind of God. So let's just show up. It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Verse 7.
Thanks for listening.
Declare it with me.
And make sure
he who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Just tell the person, overcome, man, overcome. Don't back off. Don't let anything get you down. Get in your way. Keep at it. It says, but the cowardly. You know, there are people like I did. I wasn't like really full blown at it, you know, big time at it. But there are folks that mock your faith. This is a season, you know, where people just give in to all kinds of lust and perversion that will mock people who have trust in God, put them down for it, right? Well, it takes bravery to stand in the middle of all that, doesn't it? So the cowardly don't make it. If you bow to the fear of man, well, I like Jesus, but I'm more scared of man. Let's just get it through our heads. True salvation, is true life change. It's not just spouting off, I believe in you. Look, there are a lot of people who believe God exists, but he doesn't exist inside of them. It's not just espousing that God exists. Oh, I received Jesus that day and lived it like hell the rest of your life. No, that's a deception. That's a confusion. That's a cloud. It's saying to the Lord, change me, help me, your spirit, transform me. And that's what you have to overcome being cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake. When I read this stuff, it's like, man, this is hard. In the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I remember when I came to the Lord, and some of you have heard the story, but I remember being kind of like that, the mocky guy. And there was we were in Tennessee at this college. It was a week away with this group, and it's a big, long story, but the essential part was there was an evangelist calling people to be saved. And there was this kind of hefty gal down there on her knees next to the piano. And I was standing back kind of watching the whole thing, you know. And she had mascara. I mean, she looked kind of like Alice Cooper, actually, after she cried so much. You know, she just, you know, school's out for summer, you know. And she's down there bawling, and she's saying, and she's Southern, so she's, Lord, I tried smoking. And she's repenting. Lord, I tried drinking. Lord. And she's repenting, and I'm sitting there going, God. I'm laughing. I'm kind of in almost like a mocking mode. You know what I mean? Like, you can't get me down there to do that. That's nuts. I'm standing next to this pole there just watching this stuff. I start having these thoughts. And I don't know, maybe I made it. I was like, I looked in and said, well, God, you know, this thought came in my head about God being Lord of all or not Lord at all. This thing came in my head, you know. I ain't that smart, so figured, I thought I was being really brilliant, you know. Wow, you know, God should be Lord of all or not Lord at all. And then I start going through this experience. And the Lord comes. Now, I know now what it was, because the Lord comes and there's this love. The presence of his love comes and overshadows me. And I'm starting to melt like butter by this love. I'm starting to go through this incredible sensations on the inside of this dynamic presence that's coming. And there's this hidden little message in there that's basically asking me to receive him. But because I hadn't seen, I thought God was going to turn me into a freak if I received him, because the only people I knew that really talked about Jesus out loud were nuts, fruitcakes. I was nervous about the whole thing. So I kind of held back, because I was a Christian in church, but I didn't know the Lord. See, that's what, we got that all over the culture, see. So anyway, the Lord comes to me, and then the next thing you know, this dynamic presence of his love backs off. And I see, it's about this far away, in the air, I see this flames dancing in this lake. I had never read about the lake of fire, ever. I didn't know it was in the Bible. And I look over there, and I see the lake with the flames. And I kind of get really like almost like dry in my throat thinking about. And the impression is, if you don't receive this love, this is your option. And I'm thick-headed. So he comes back again. And he comes back again. He visits my heart again. And this time, I'm feeling this love so incredible, but I don't say yes. How about you? You ever had the Lord just tug it on your heart and just resist him? And then he shows me the fire again. And I'm like, I'm getting it. He's serious. I'm getting the idea. He's serious. He comes a third time. The third time he says to me, I mean, he has out the way I can hear it. He says, I don't have to ask you again. Well, that fear of God. I don't even remember saying out loud, I receive you. But inside of my heart, I went yes. And as soon as I did that, somehow I opened up something in agreement with him. And it was like this little opening came, and all of that love began to pour on the inside of me. And I began to lose all of my physical strength, and I grabbed the pole. I slid down to my knees, and I slumped over like a jellyfish. I just slumped over, and I just wept and wept and wept. And I got up 40 minutes later. I didn't know hallelujah from hot dog, but I knew I had changed. I had received him. I came to know Jesus. Now, I want to say there are people that understand taking God at his word. There was a man one time who was in the military. He came up to the pastor and he said, now you say that if I believe in Jesus Christ in my heart and believe that God raised him from the dead and I repent of my sins, what I know of, then I'll be saved. He said, that's right. I'll do that. Thank you. Then walked off. No crying, no expression of emotion, nothing. Solidest, most solid Christian that was ever in that church. He was a man who just took God at his word, knew it. Because he was a man that he kept his word. So he took God at his word. Didn't have to be emotional. Not the same level of brokenness that needed to be restored. Just someone who took God at his word. And it works the same. Not one tear was shed. He just knew in his side, energized by the word of God. The word of God doesn't have to have an emotional expression to it. The word of God just comes in and you just know, I'm saved. I know it. I believe him. I believe, and everything else, I'll take him at his word too. And the guy was the strongest pillar in that church for years. Just took God at his word. Let's set everything aside just for a moment. Because today is the day of salvation. I want to just clear everything out of our hands. You know, I'm not sure why everybody's even here today, except I know this, that the Lord, there's no mistakes. There's no mistakes. Would you be so kind to close your eyes just for a moment? I want to give everybody kind of like a courtesy of privacy, because you can take God at his word today. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, it's not just with the head that you believe, it's a heart thing. It's a believing in the heart thing. That God has raised him from the dead. This is you too. And so everybody else that just loves the Lord, knows the Lord, they're in a place of just kind of praying for everybody else who may not. Because they want everyone here to not miss these precious inheritance, you know. He's defeated death. He's made a place for us in his family. He's given us a legacy because he's risen from the dead. There's an eternal inheritance wrapped up in all of this for us. Let's praise him just for a moment. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We just want to come before you and thank you again for rising up from the grave and breaking the power of death over our life. We give you praise for that. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Lord, you're so loving. That day when I was 17 years old, you actually said, you gave me a choice. You put the ball in my court. You said, you're so patient. But that day you just pressed in on me because you knew I would probably walk away forever. And you wanted me to have a real solid understanding of what this was about. And today is my prayer that as your Holy Spirit would be tugging on somebody's heart, just to bring them into the awareness of your deep love for them, that you've taken care of everything already, that it's really a good thing to come to know you and love you. And so as we're here, Lord, I want to ask that your Holy Spirit begin working in the heart of anybody who doesn't know you, or anybody who's really strayed away. So I'm asking, Jesus, that you just do what you do best, love people deep within. And I'm praying, Father, for everybody that doesn't know you to open up to you, that this deposit of this service today be a big seed in Jesus' name. You know, Jesus, I want to invite you to give your heart over to him. The Bible says God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that he loved and he gave his son. And to receive his love, you receive his son. And it's about receiving and confessing who Jesus is. And if it's your desire today to choose him, then I want to ask everybody else to keep their heads, their eyes closed, their heads bowed. And if you would lift your hand, wave at me, and lift your eyes and just look at me, I will agree with you that today you're saying, today I'm taking God at his word. I want to receive him today. Is that why you're looking at me? Today you're saying, have you ever received the Lord before? So you're coming back to the Lord. You're tired of the messing around business. Hallelujah. You know what? I just had a witness that something broke off of you. I don't know what's been pulling on you, but there's a freedom that the Lord is giving your life. There's a freedom. There are things that you've struggled with that the Lord is saying, I'm removing the entanglement. I don't know what it is. He didn't show me that, but there, when you lifted your hand, I had a distinct sense that there's something that has been pulling you away from the Lord, and the Lord's come against it. That you won't have the same struggle anymore. Is there anybody else like this? So I want to come back. I want to quit messing around in life. I want Jesus' help. Listen, let's let that get settled. Let's praise him right now. Let's praise him because the Lord wants to reveal. Give him that opening. He wants to make himself big and large in you, and give you. I see. There's a lot of good days, a lot of tremendously good days of destiny and fulfillment. The hell has lied to you and told you that you wouldn't be fulfilled knowing Jesus. The hell has bombarded your mind over the last seasons. And that's a lie. That's under your feet now. The meaning of your life, why you're on the planet, is wrapped up in your relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Anybody else is saying, I want to establish that today I'm going to deal with stuff. I'm dealing with me. I'm going to say, Jesus, I come to you and ask you to do in me what I can't do in myself. I yield to you to do that work in me that I need. Let's praise him, guys. Let's praise him. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Let's just worship the Lord for a moment. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Where I'm just making an assumption that everybody's heart is settled on the King of Kings. You just said, I'm walking to the best of my ability to know him, to love him, to sell out to him. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. So let's praise him here. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to invite the pastors to the platform to come quickly here. We have some folks here, and anybody else who would want to just receive prayer and to just settle things in your heart with the Lord. We're here to do that. Look at somebody and say, go ahead and say, he is risen. Let's go ahead and say back, he's risen indeed. Amen.
Love, the fountainhead.
Thanks for listening, and make sure to check out our website at rogerthrower.com. There you'll find more podcasts, videos, music, devotional messages, lead sheets, and other worship resources. May the Lord richly bless your life and fill you with new hope. Transcending in glory, he's written the story with me in mind. He planned my conception and then